remember, Connor, you flush it, I flaunt it.
What it is, everybody? Welcome to episode 72 of Fish and Connor Saw a Movie. My name's David Pether, but you can call me Fish. With me, as always, is my favorite sack of shit,
Connor McDuff.
What it is, Connor?
Not much. I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good today. I'm feeling good, feeling upbeat, feeling positive. Happy to be here. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm feeling great because we're back onto Batman.
Batman Returns. Here we go.
Fucking oath. We both keep saying Batman. Batman's my favorite superhero. Is he your favorite?
Wolverine's my favorite superhero.
Oh,
Batman. Yes. Batman's a close second for me.
Yeah. Wow. Wolverine better than Batman.
Wolverine's just a pimp. He can regenerate. He's got adamantium throughout his whole body. He's a fucking badass. I love him.
This is true. He is very, very, very cool. He'd definitely be in my top five.
Yeah.
My two big ones are Spider-Man and Batman. Batman's number one.
Yes. Spider-Man, you've always been a big Spider-Man fan.
I have.
I think that's one of the first conversations you ever had was actually over Amazing Spider-Man 2.
One of the greatest superhero movies ever made. No.
Total lie.
No. It wasn't that bad, but come on. That's for another conversation. We're going to be talking about Batman Returns today, but first I want to do a bit of an Oscar update.
Woo!
Because
woo-hoo!
I went and seen one of the Best Picture nominations. I'm hoping that this is going to be the first year that I can see the entire roster, and I think I can do it because they've given us a little bit more time. We've got Brooklyn coming out on the 11th of February, and I think everything else is out at the moment, like Room's out down here.
I think most things are out. Yeah, I don't think anything isn't.
But I saw Spotlight.
Okay.
Which was probably of the ones that I hadn't seen. Spotlight was the one I wanted to see out of those. And probably The Big Short. I still need to see that. But about this group of journalists tracking down a bunch of kiddie fiddler priests back in 2001. Interesting material to be in a movie. And my biggest thing going into it was I was worried that it might be... Like, it's a bit of an awkward... The content's pretty awkward. Like, you think about fucking kiddie fiddlers. It's never a pleasant thing.
Yeah.
But I feel like this movie handled it quite well. Everybody in fucking Spotlight is just disgusted by the fact that they find out that there's so many priests. Because it's something... There's, like, a crazy number of priests. I won't tell you how many because I don't want to spoil it. This is just going to be a mini review. They... I just always disgusted at it, and it kind of is always over. And yeah, you're like, obviously you're gonna be, so it's pretty intense, but you kind of know where it's ending. Like, you already know that there are priests that are fucking around and doing bad things. It's kind of like a cliche these days for priests,
which is a little fucking disturbing.
Yeah, well, that's it. But the real horror in it is when you find out, like, we find out as the characters find out just how many of these priests have been doing things.
Jesus.
And how much the church has been covering it. So it's pretty fucked up. And for something that we kind of already know the ending of, the fun is when you take this ride with these characters. So fantastic fucking performances. We've got Michael Keaton, who we're going to be talking about on this episode again.
The Keats.
Mark Ruffalo just puts in another fucking sterling performance as always. So I quite enjoyed Spotlight. And I would give it a 4 out of 5.
Oh my goodness, that's pretty high.
Considering I gave Revenant such a low score. But saying that, I enjoyed Spotlight more than The Revenant. But I think The Revenant is more of a best picture than Spotlight, if that makes
Spotlight
sense.
Spotlight is? All right. Yeah. Well, I need to go see Spotlight because I'm keen to get my opinion in it. And I really want to see it. I actually didn't know anything about it until you told me just then.
Oh, really? All I knew was that it was about a, you know, journalist going after the church, basically. And it's fucking crazy, the things you find out. So definitely go see it. I highly recommend that film. Anyway, let's get on to Batman. Enough of that bullshit. Oscar watch over.
Batman Returns. So the movie follows, of course, not Batman. The movie follows the Penguin. It's got three villains in this one. It's the Dark Knight Rises of the old school Batman films. We've got Catwoman, we've got the Penguin, and we've got Christopher Walken playing Christopher Walken. They're there to fuck shit up. Basically, what happens is the Penguin wants to surface back up in Gotham and become, basically wants to run Gotham, and he's fucked. And then another plan he has is to steal all the firstborn children of the families in Gotham and drown them, which is really fucked. And of course, Batman comes in and stops them and saves the day. The end.
Yeah, and Catwoman's in there. Catwoman's and Max Shrek's in there. Mr. Christopher Walken. Well, it's funny with a movie called Batman Returns. Where did he go?
Yeah, like that, it doesn't make any sense. He's never left.
He never left. Like, in fact, if anything, he's more present than ever. They've got the bat signal. Like, the bat signal's out there. He's got those fucking cool reflector things that push it into his room while he's sitting there pondering, waiting
those
for...
those things, what? I don't understand. It doesn't make sense, though. Why would you have big reflectors that's so obscure and just seems totally... just have, like, a beeper or, like, a... It's the 90s. Wouldn't they have pages or something? Like, why the fuck...
Well, I was going to say, isn't it a bit obscure that they would have a spotlight that...
It's the bat signal. Like, it's for the people of Gotham. They're like, fuck yeah, I love Batman. I feel good now knowing he's around. But, like, wouldn't that be more obvious for Batman to be caught if he's got giant reflectors that shine into his house? Like, wouldn't people be like, why the fuck does Bruce Wayne have these giant reflectors that Batman has around? I don't understand.
Although this is all true, I thought the reflectors were fucking cool.
Oh, God.
When you really stop to think about, like, where is the reflector in the first place? Like, because, you know, if it's going up into the clouds, does he have, like, a reflector on a satellite or something? Like, I don't know. I thought it was really cool. I didn't really think about it this hard, though. I enjoyed what it was, to be honest. I thought it was just cool. But saying that, yeah, you fucking hit the nail. Like, we got to start on Batman in a Batman movie. And you've hit the nail on the head in your fucking plot synopsis. There is not really much Batman at all, again.
There honestly is not. There is not a lot of Batman going on in this film. Just like fucking the last one. Hell. It's seen Tim Burton very much likes the weird and quirky, as we know. And he likes the weird and quirky so much that he doesn't give a fuck about the other people, I guess. I don't know. It's annoying.
Yeah, he wants to go with the quirkiest character, the most, the Penguin, obviously. We'll talk about him in a bit. But it's funny because, like, this Batman movie is probably the first Batman movie I've seen as a kid, I'm fairly sure. Because, like I said, when we were watching 89 Batman, I don't really remember that too much from when I was young. But Batman Returns came out at the right time. It was 92. I remember sitting in the hospital when my little brother was getting born in 93.
Yeah.
With a fucking Batman Returns coloring book. So that's one of my first fucking memories of Batman, is this awesome coloring book that I had.
Did you just color it all black?
I don't know. Maybe I didn't really know what color Batman was. I probably made him red. That was always my favorite color. But
fucking red.
It was, that's like, I do remember this movie, and I remember watching it as a kid and being quite scared of it, thinking, because it was quite a dark film, but remembering it fondly. And I remember Batman being a fucking badass. And when he's on screen sometimes, maybe, I don't know, but I don't remember him not being present, which is pretty much what goes on in this film. And it's, what the fuck are they thinking? Like, and even when Batman is there, I don't know, he's a bit shit.
Yeah, he doesn't do much. I mean, like, he's got the whole fucking stilt things in his Batmobile.
On his Batmobile.
He's got these two fucking paddles that just come out of the wheels and knock over these people on stilts. It's a very specific gadget for a situation that I'm sure doesn't come up all that much. You know? Like, what the fuck is going on there with that shit?
Well, there could be other things. I'm trying to think. I can't back this up. I don't know. I like all the gadgets. That's one thing I do like about this movie over Batman 89, is that they have gone a bit crazy with the gadgets. Like, especially with the Batmobile, as stupid as it is, again, like, these fucking paddle things. I did like that 180 machine thing, that the little stilt that comes out of the bottom of the car and spins it around to do a tight 180.
Oh, fucking hell, that thing clunky as well. The whole thing just seemed super, like, super clunky and super fucking, I don't know. It was just jerky. Batman's just, he can't move his fucking neck, so, like, the whole thing is just super, like, I can't believe he can't move his neck. And then his mask.
Well, he's getting better. You gotta say, though, that the fucking batsuit is a much better, it's got an upgrade since last time. He still can't move his neck, but that's a joke that gets made in, is it Batman Begins? When Christian Bale's talking to Morgan Freeman, he says something about, I want to be able to turn my neck better, so you know, they're aware of this, but it still looks stupid.
It does look fucking stupid. And then the mask is like attached to his body, so he has to tear the whole suit apart to get the mask off.
Oh, yeah, when he rips it off at the end. What the fuck? Like, I've actually got... I've got in my notes here, he just rips his mask off every time. What? Yeah, what the fuck?
I don't understand.
So then you can't just take it off? Like, is this why he has so many bat suits in the fucking... Because
he has to take his fucking... Rips it off every time.
Yeah. I know he's rich, but goddamn, come on.
And then on top of him, there's that fucking eye makeup. The black eye makeup.
Oh, yeah. It's not on when he takes it off.
Like,
yeah.
It's very obvious that he's wearing eye makeup the whole time. And then he takes the mask off and it's gone. It's just disappeared. I don't understand where the fucking eye makeup goes.
They should just embrace it. Makes no
fucking sense. I know. I still,
when I was watching this with my girlfriend Beck, she brought it up in the first one when, you know, when he's doing the like the montage of getting dressed. Where's the shot of him putting on his eye makeup? I really want to see that. That should just be in there. Let's embrace that shit. Bring it back in Batman Returns. Why not?
It's in Kick-Ass. That is in Kick-Ass. Nicolas Cage sits there and puts the eye makeup
on. Oh, he does too. Yeah. It's funny how many things reference back to this shit, eh?
I know. It's crazy. Like, it's just so... It's so nuts, like, realizing it, because they're clearly direct references to these situations that we're bringing up. But yeah, the fucking eye makeup thing and the mask, how he tears it off. Why? Doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. Like we're ragging on him a lot. Like my biggest problem is that he's just not there. And then when he is there, he just kind of rocks up.
He just rocks up and he hangs out last minute and then fucking pisses off again. He doesn't even like do anything. He kind of like deals with the Penguin a little bit, and then
he has a good fight with the Catwoman.
Yeah, where he fucking punches her off her
He punches her off the roof.
Yeah,
but when I like when he like hits her first and she's like, "You wouldn't hit a woman," and he's all like, "Oh, I'm sorry." And like that's a really good fight, that one. I will say that.
I just love the punch. The punch off the tower, it completes me to a
when she falls into the
It's
kitty
ridiculous.
Litter.
Like, it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. He clocks her in the jaw and she just falls off a building. Like, he was gonna kill her. He was going to straight up murder her. Fucking clocked her in the jaw.
She scratched him, man. Fuck that.
And she falls into kitty litter. And he's just like, I guess she's alive now. Like, he's just fine with it. It's just ridiculous.
That's true. God, you're seeing this from a much darker perspective than I ever did.
Yeah, because Batman kills people in this film. He just straight up murders people. This one dude, he just like straps TNT on and pushes down a hole. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, this is the opposite of what Batman does. This is...
And he fucking puts the afterburners on the Batmobile.
He lights
and
a guy on fire. Jesus, he doesn't even just, like, shoot them or, like, snap their neck. He just, like,
he torches
them and blows them up.
Jesus Christ. No, you're right. But saying that again, like, this was... We all know that Batman doesn't kill. But back then, this was, like, a reboot to Batman. And they kind of did what they wanted. Like...
Yeah.
So I kind of give it a pass for that, like, and I don't ever like when he punches Catwoman off the roof. I don't think he's intending to kill her. If it's the Batman that I know and love, he probably knew that fucking truck was coming along. You know what I mean? Like, he's a smart cookie.
But he's not the Batman I know and love. He's a different Batman. He's Michael Keaton Batman. Michael Keaton Batman's got bloodlust. So to be honest, I just think he's just fucking
bloodlust. I don't know if he has bloodlust. Killing kills a few people. A few collateral damage, if you
What
will.
Did you think of Danny DeVito as the Penguin?
Oh, Danny DeVito in the Penguin. Well, this is what I want to say. Like, this movie is very much the Penguin's movie.
Yeah.
And Danny DeVito owns this role. Like, he is the Penguin. Or at least this version of the Penguin. Because he's very different to the Penguin that is in the comics and such as well. Because he's more of a gangster. Just straight. He's not actually a fucking Penguin.
He's like, he's like basically a kingpin in the comics and stuff. And this
in like
one,
every other version of him. Yeah, yeah. I don't think I've ever seen a version where he actually has flippers. But I do like it. I do like it. I think it works for this film. And if you can separate it, you have to. Like, this is its own version. Like we said with Batman, he kills, he does all this. He's his own version. This is its own world. This is a Tim Burton world where people look like penguins.
It's true. Good old Timmy Burtz.
The good old Timmy Burtz. And might I say, the way they've made him look like a penguin is pretty fucking impressive.
Yeah, it's pretty great. He looks pretty full on. I like it a lot.
Like, even when he's got his gloves off and you can see, like, how his hands are sort of put together.
Actual flippers,
as flippers. That's pretty cool. There was only a few times that I sort of noticed that it looks like he's wearing a pillow. There was one particular scene where he's walking up that spiral staircase when Max Schreck brings him downstairs to...
Yeah, he's
you know, when they're doing the mayor, running for mayor sort of thing.
A little cushy.
Yeah, he looks a bit cushiony there, but, like, other than that, it's pretty fucking flawless. And for, you know, how old this movie is, I'm fairly sure it was up for, like, Oscars or some sort of awards, and it definitely deserves it. I was quite impressed with it.
Well, he looks great. Like, I thought he looked really good. I thought Danny DeVito did a really good job as well. I thought he was excellent. Did you think he was better than the Joker?
You know what? I enjoy Danny DeVito's performance as the Penguin better than Jack Nicholson as the Joker. And that's not saying that Danny DeVito's a better actor than Jack Nicholson, because Jack Nicholson is the fucking king. But I don't really like that version of the Joker. It didn't really work for me like every other version of the Joker does. Like, we'll talk about Heath Ledger when we get to that. That's a whole different kettle of fish. But Danny DeVito makes this movie, I think. I think he is best thing about this film.
Well, it's his film. It's his film.
And he's sympathetic enough, but then such a piece of shit at the same time. Like, he is a gross, sick motherfucker. He's always what's with that fucking black shit come? What is his spit, like, green? Like, what is that?
Oh, yeah, his blood. His blood is, like, black. Like, purpley black. It's just fucked.
I mean, that shit, man, that used to make me, like, cringe as a kid. It still makes me cringe now. And he's a bit of a fucking sex fiend as well. Like,
oh, he's so seedy. Jesus Christ. He's, like, hits on Catwoman and wants to, like, fuck Catwoman. God damn, that was so fucked.
Well, like, it kind of, but again, I think it fits the character, because this is a dude who's been trapped in, you know, a penguin enclosure for 30 years because he's been scared of life. Man, he's been jerking off to fucking people through sewer grates. He wants a bit of nookie. I get it.
He's got a little pent-up sexual frustration. Maybe that's the key to all of his problems. Maybe he turns into a real human when he has sex. Everything's fine. It's just he needed some mad poon. By the way, speaking of mad poon, Catwoman is a fucking babe. Like, holy shit. She's so attractive. My God. Oh, yes. Michelle Pfeiffer.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
You fucking mix. God
that
damn.
Leather.
Yeah.
That leather.
I really like Catwoman in this. I really enjoyed her. She wasn't really fucking useful, to be honest. But I liked her a lot. And she was super attractive. And I think she played Catwoman really well. I really liked her as Catwoman.
I think she's very good. I like her in both versions of her. Like, I like her as the bumbling secretary beforehand. And then I like when she morphs into Catwoman. Like, they're two extremes of the same character. And Michelle Pfeiffer nails both of them. Like, she's got this, like, you just can't help but feel sorry for her when, like, that scene where she comes in after work and, you know, honey, I'm home. Oh, that's right. I'm not married. And she's just walking around her like, sad little apartment. Like, it's fantastic. And you really feel for her when she's scared of Max Schreck, like, when he fucking pushes her out the window. Jesus Christ.
Because he's a
fucking
asshole.
He's a prick.
My God.
We'll talk about him in a sec. But, like, how about that fucking falling out the window scene, though?
That was
good
fucked,
God.
Man.
It's not like you can just kill me. Actually, it's a lot like that. That was my very poor Christopher Walken impression right there.
Actually, it's a lot like that. That's all I got right now.
Yeah. What if I push you out the window? It's a lot like that. I'm getting closer. I don't know. Anyway, that is the thing I remember the most as a kid. That scene is fucking horrifying. When she hits the ground and all those fucking cats come out.
Oh, fuck that shit, man. That was too fucking much. I can't handle that. I don't like cats. I've never liked cats. Anyone listening to me that knows me knows I fucking hate cats. And if you like cats more than dogs, you're a fucking joke of a human and you need to give up on existing, because cats are fucking shit animals. And I'm pretty sure this scene is the reason I fucking hate cats. I'm pretty sure this is the reason I don't like cats, because this is fucked in the head. Like, these cats eating this woman, It's so fucked.
Yeah, they're like nibbling on her mouth and her fingers. I remember the one nibbling on, because like she's bleeding from the fingers and that cat's coming up and having a good old nibble. That, oh yeah, yuck.
It's so
something,
fucked.
Something's so messed up about it. But then she just kind of turns into Catwoman. And this is my only problem with Catwoman. It was the same, I had the same problem with the Joker last time, was, you know, how he just all of a sudden became funny and all that sort of shit. Like, he was nothing like that beforehand. How the fuck does she become an ultimate fighting champion all of a sudden?
Yeah, what the fuck? She's like doing backflips and shit. She goes from like, from assistant to ninja, basically. Does yeah. backflips and has like this whip that she's perfect with. That seems to be a trope that Tim Burton likes to do, which is suddenly people are totally different from like a near-death experience. Because yeah. the Joker does the same thing. The Joker turns into this monster after falling into a vat of like chemical waste. And then yeah. Catwoman turns into Catwoman after falling off a fucking building. And both of those people seem pretty normal before this point.
All I need is just one thing. I just need one thing to show me that she had some sort of fighting yeah. ability. Like, even if she just went home and put a picture of fucking Christopher Walken on a boxing bag in her shitty apartment and started to beat the shit out of it. Like, you'd get... You just... That's enough. That gives me something. It's not strong, but it gives you something. There is literally nothing. There is nothing to say that she can turn into this, you know, sexy fucking ultimate fighter. It's bullshit.
Yeah, there's nothing there. I mean, there's that awesome scene where she fucking... Because she does her, like... It's like one shot where she goes around when she's not Selina Kyle and basically, like, checks her messages and just goes home and shit and feeds her cat.
Mm.
And then there's... When she comes back and she's basically turning into Catwoman, she does the same thing. It's fucking yeah, awesome. It's
the same routine, but, like, just a little bit more fucked up. Yeah, I like that. This movie has great imagery, and we'll get on to talk about, you know, Burton's style and all that sort of thing in a sec. But this particular scene, like the mirroring of that earlier scene, you know, her mashing up all the fucking stuffed animals, everything's so much more fucked now, you know? And I love that shot, even though it's kind of a bit lame, but I really like it, where she smashes that neon line. I think it said, like, hello there, and it ends up, she smashes the H and a T or something
yeah,
like
it's
that.
Like,
oh no, the O and the T, so it says hell here.
Yeah.
That's like, and just behind her as she's just put on the Catwoman suit for the first time. Like, stuff like that is what Tim Burton does well.
Yeah.
Like, he is a very visual director.
He does
director.
Fucked up well, basically. He does really
yeah,
fucked
well,
up
well.
Yeah,
well, that's true. But the funny thing with Tim Burton, we've both gone on record saying that Tim Burton isn't our favorite fucking director.
No.
I want him to be fucked up.
Yeah.
I want, because he does, you're absolutely right. He does do fucked up so well. But everything he does has this PG element to it that just
yeah.
doesn't quite get to the area that I want it to. Like, I think this is probably the closest he's ever come in this film
basically,
to what I
basically,
want.
Basically, Tim Burton makes films for teenagers with angst. Like, that's how
yeah,
I see it.
Yeah.
Like, it's really so quirky and fucked up, but not actually quirky and fucked up. Like, it's like pretend. Like, the elements are there,
yep.
but he's never going to go to a point where you're actually like, whoa, that's messed, or that's full on. He's always just sitting like, I don't know. I like Tim Burton, but at the same time, I'm not a huge fan of his stuff. Like, I can only tolerate it in small doses.
Yeah, it's, like I said, I like his style, and it's funny because he is making movie for, you know, these teen angst. Teenagers want a little bit of blood. So let's show us some blood. Like when he did Alice in Wonderland, I was really hoping it was going to be this kind of really twisted vision of
like
it.
Like Alice Madness Returns almost.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What do you think about like his, like the way this film looks? Like, this feels very Tim Burton.
I felt like at some moments though, it felt like a set. Like, I didn't really feel like Gotham was a thriving city in this one. And that was the same as the last one. It definitely still felt like I was watching, like a film, basically.
So,
I'm
yeah,
sure
yeah,
Jesse Benjamin will fucking quote me in that. But, like...
Jesse!
Yeah, it just felt like I was watching... It felt like a lot of the scenes were just on a soundstage, like, and they were... And it was clear that, like, that it just wasn't actually a thriving society. And that's kind of bothersome because Gotham is such a crazy universe that's been built. And I'd love to have seen that more, you know? Anyway, that's my opinion on it. I think a lot of the time, like, it's always in that town center, that town square. And I'm like, it's the same fucking spot. Center. Yeah, I'm just like, it's the same spot every time. And I want to see more of this place. Why is it that conveniently everything happens there?
Yeah. Look, I kind of get what you're saying. Like, I can see it now that you've pointed it out, but I never really noticed that. Like, I did feel like it was a thriving city. I think what they've done, they almost got it in the last film, but this time, visually, and the way that the city looks, I think they've fucking nailed it. I really, really like the production design in this film. I think it is fucking top-notch, and it's what I think of when I think Gotham. Yeah, it does look like it's on a set, but I always think of, like, you know, when I think of Back to the Future, I always think that, you know, the main city where the clock tower is, and that looks like a set, looks like a backlot, but it's kind of the style of the film. So I get sucked into it because I believe that. And I feel like I do the very same thing here with Batman Returns, because I think the way they've shot these particular sets that they have is fucking fantastic. It's all, like, really, you know, cranes flowing down, a lot of moving shots. It's just, I don't know. I do feel like it is a living, breathing city in terms of this particular universe. I think the problem, again, and this is always going to keep coming up, is that we've seen so many other iterations of Batman and Gotham City that this is...
It's not the best, basically.
It's hard, yeah. It's hard. We've actually been in fucking Gotham City by playing the Arkham games, you know what I mean? So, like, we've seen this city getting on and what it does. So it's hard to know.
I agree. I think, to be honest, I think a lot of our hate for this film, bar Tim Burton, comes from, not saying we hate it, just our...
Yeah, I was going to say, that's harsh.
Our disdain for it in some aspects is, a lot of it comes from the fact that we have basically been spoiled by knowing a lot about fucking Batman now in this day and age, and seeing a lot of Batman, and we're about to see more fucking Batman in 2 months. Batman is such a household name now, and everything's so well explained and so well understood that when certain things aren't the way we expect, basically we just kind of are like, what?
What is this? This isn't the way it is. Yeah.
And, you know, like, a lot of my, like, this doesn't feel like a city comes from, like, playing a game like Arkham City and Arkham Knight, where it's pretty fucking perfect, where I'm like, this is spot on. Like, this feels like Gotham, like this amazing cartoony town. City, not a town.
Yeah. But then you got, like, you know, the Dark Knight trilogy where, you know, they've obviously had these huge fucking budgets and movie making has gone ahead leaps and bounds by then, so they're able to capture a more living, breathing city as opposed to back in 1992, where, like, I do know that they had a lot of sets for this. Like, I think most of the Warner, it was either Warner Brothers or Universal, one of the two, they took up like 60 or 70% of their studio space with Gotham City. Like, everywhere was Gotham City. But this one's a funny one, and it's different also because of Burton. Like, Burton is one of the most visual directors out there, and this has a Burton style, but it also has the Batman style that will go on to be shaped, at least in the Shoemaker films, the next two that we're going to review. And it goes on to shape the animated series, which in the 90s, which is probably the best cartoon I've ever seen. I think that cartoon is fantastic. And if anything, what Burton's done here led into that, and that makes me happy.
Yeah, I mean, like, Burton set up basically superhero movies as we know them. It's not as if he's done bad at all. Like, he's done amazing things.
Well, it's funny, he wasn't actually going to come back for this one. He didn't originally want to come back because he didn't kind of like the scripts. He didn't like where they were going. The deal was he would do it if he got more creative control. And this one, you can definitely feel that he's gone a little bit further than, you know, last week's one, because this has Burton written all over. The other one did as well, but this one, you can tell he's been let off the leash.
Yeah.
But what about Max Schreck? We missed him out. What about Mr. Walken?
Bloody Christopher Walken, mate. He's my bloody hero. I love him to death. He does well every time. His characters are pretty, like, plain Jane, though.
Oh, really? You didn't like him?
I didn't. It's not that I didn't like him, but I'm like, it's fucking Batman film. You have the opportunity to have three villains, and you choose, like, two are really exciting, but then you choose another one that is, I feel like, was created for this film. I might be wrong.
Yeah, he was.
But, like, he's definitely not, he's not anything special. He's just, like, a sleazy businessman. I just feel like they could have put in someone that had some relevance, you know?
Well, it's not like there isn't a rich, you know, bank of Batman villains to choose from.
Exactly.
He was originally going to be Harvey Dent.
Yeah, that was what I was thinking as well, because he's Harvey Dent's in the first one. Lando's playing Harvey Dent in the first one.
Oh, he is too.
And I was like, yeah. I just like just had that thought then. Like, why the fuck wouldn't you put him back in the film? I don't understand why.
Shit,
they...
that makes so much sense. Wow.
But yeah, that was something odd. Like, I just... There's a lot of people you could have chose, and they chose this fucking random. And he, like, Christopher Walken pulls it off. Like, he's still, it's still cool. Like, it because it just adds to the story, and, you know, it's still another fucking 2 hours of not Batman. But I just wish it was something more.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that though, because I did read an interview with I think it was the writer that Burton got in to redo the script, and the whole point of Christopher Walken's character was to show that to be a supervillain, you didn't need to wear a mask, basically. You didn't need to be a fucking penguin. You didn't need to be Catwoman. This is just a guy out in the public eye. Like, he's Gotham's most prominent resident, and he's fucking the city. And I kind of like that. I think that's a nice little contrast to the fantastic characters that are the Penguin and Catwoman. So I dig it. I got it. And I think he served his purpose. Like, I think he was the big bad in this movie. He's the Palpatine.
Yeah, he is the Palpatine. I just feel like there's probably a Palpatine in the Batman universe that's actually, like,
in the universe.
Cool. Yeah, not this fucking Max Schreck random. Plus, Christopher Walken can play any villain. It doesn't matter who it is. Christopher Walken could play the Joker, and I'd probably be like, yeah, that's fair enough. I can understand that choice.
That would have been fun, yeah.
Like, it's fucking Christopher Walken. I don't know. I think Burton kind of missed an opportunity to really do something really fucking cool, you know? Like, something...
To go even more wacky?
Yeah, basically.
But I think in some ways it's a good thing, in most ways it's a good thing because it counteracts the wackiness. I think if Tim Burton went way crazy, like he has in other films... Yeah, I probably wouldn't like it as much. Like, we whinge about how many bad guys are in other Batman films. And this guy, really the bad guys are Penguin and Catwoman. And this guy is the one pulling the strings. So I kind of like that he's not
I know, wacky. But I'm just saying it wouldn't, I don't expect him to be wacky, and I guess I understand what you mean, because if Burton was to take one of these iconic villains, he probably would have turned them into, like, a caricature of what they are, but I'm just saying, like, it's the same amount of people, it's just instead of having some random boring suit, we have someone fun as fuck, but Burton probably would have made him too full on, and probably would have oversaturated what was already something that was fucking crazy, which was Danny DeVito as the Penguin.
I get what you're saying now. Like, it's at the end of the day, there is so many good bad guys, wacky or not wacky, in the Batman universe that you could choose from. Why do they need to bring in a new one? Yeah, okay, I gotcha. But I did like what Christopher Walken did. He is so fucked up in this film. Like, pushing Selina Kyle out the window. Everything he does, like, he's just got the big businessman grin. And, he's a great... And I actually forgot that he was in this, and was, you know, when he came on screen, I was like, oh fuck yeah, Christopher Walken!
I love how he gets killed too. That was fucking satisfying for me. That guy getting fucking just destroyed.
With the taser kiss.
Yeah, because I hate him. I was just like, fuck, you're such a cunt of a guy. So I was very happy to see him go like that.
Well, cool, man. Well, I'm pretty much done. Should we wrap this shit up?
Yeah, let's wrap it up. Look, I really like Batman. As a whole, obviously, and we both do,
yeah.
Hence we're doing all the films. This one, I think, kind of sits higher than the first Batman for me, the original 1989 Batman. Is it 89?
Yeah, 89, yeah.
But I still think it's missing certain things that really get me involved with Batman. Like, it's missing the aspects of Batman that I really like, such as Batman. and Bruce Wayne, and like, having this depth to a character that... It's more than just a suit. And, you know, while it's great that Danny DeVito, you know, is playing this really crazy character and it's his film, it's still a fucking Batman film and I want to see more Batman. Tim Burton just doesn't really hit it the way I want him to. Like, he just doesn't get the note, which is disappointing. I give it a 3.5 out of 5.
Yeah, look, I totally agree with you. This is a Batman movie. We need Batman. He's there, but he's shit. He doesn't do anything. He kind of throws a few punches here and there. He does have some cool moments. Like, I did like when he threw that batarang for the first time, and it like kind of locks onto all the people, and then that little dog takes it. But even that in itself, like, a little dog took your fucking batarang. You got beat by a dog, Batman. What the fuck is going on? Batman is the man. He doesn't just fuck up like that, you know? And when he is there, he's just in the background. Like, the fights are going on between Catwoman and fucking Penguin, and like, he's just... And Bruce Wayne, we didn't even really talk about the fucking lack of Bruce Wayne in this movie. Like, or at least in the first one, I felt like he had some sort of character arc. He only really... He kind of falls for Selina, and then there's that, oh, shit, are we doing the right thing? You know, should Basically. I be in this mask? And it had a nice theme behind it, like, you know, how people always wear masks and
but it's not really like explored.
No, not at all. And it's kind of disappointing. But the rest of the film, outside of Batman, is fucking excellent. I love the Penguin. I love the Catwoman. I love Max Schreck. I love Tim Burton's direction for most of the part. I think this is the closest that Tim Burton has come to what I want from him. The one thing he could have done without was the stupid cat puns, though, with Catwoman. Man, when she is, like, licking herself, good God. But this movie looks fantastic. This is what I think of when I think of the Batman world generally now. Like, I think this has stuck with me since 1993 in that fucking hospital waiting room colouring in all these scenes, you know? It's stuck with me. And this is the closest to the animated series, which is actually my favourite version of Batman. I think that's the definitive style. And it's all that Art Deco, real noirish, and Burton nails it here. So that brings me great pleasure. I definitely think it's better than Batman 89, which is pretty... it seems like it's a pretty rare thing. Like, a lot of the comments on our Facebook post of our Batman 89 review were talking about how it, you know, the series kind of went downhill from Batman 89, whereas I remember it kind of going up.
Yeah.
Like, Batman 89 is probably my lowest liked one, at least now. We haven't watched Batman Forever and Batman and Robin. Oh, actually, Batman and Robin. Ugh. That's something we'll talk about then. But I definitely think this is a step up. I think they almost got it with Batman 89, and now this is where Burton finally got to see the vision that he wanted to do, and I really enjoy it. So I would give it a 3.5, but as I did last week, because it's about Batman, it gets another 0.5. So this is a 4 out of 5 for me.
4 out of 5, Jesus Christ. That's two 4 out of 5s in one podcast.
In one podcast, good God, happening?
Jesus Christ.
Good times
anyway,
this week.
Next week we'll review Batman Forever. Hope you're hyped for that shit, son.
Yeah, man, this is the one I've been looking forward. This is the one I was talking about. Batman Returns is the first memory of Batman, but Batman Forever is my Batman movie.
That's your shit.
Yeah. So I'm really excited to go back and... Oh, I'm actually a little scared because I haven't watched it in a while. I hope it's as good as I remember.
Fuck yeah, I haven't seen it in ages either. It's been a long time. Hopefully, it holds up.
You liked that one as well, didn't you?
I did like that one back in the day.
Jim Carrey, Tommy Lee Jones. How could you go wrong? They've got
exactly.
Robin there.
Exactly. It's not
Val Kilmer.
It's not possible. So.
Well, we will discuss that next week. But for now, get on the Facebook, like our shit, listen to our shit. You can get onto podbean.com/fishandconnoisseurmovie. Find all 72 episodes. All reviews we've done. We've done Batman 89. We did all the Star Wars films. Go back, check that shit out. And then we'll see you next week for Batman Forever.
That's it. Play the music, Fish.
thank you for listening to this episode of Fish and Connoisseur a Movie. Fish and Connoisseur a Movie does not own any rights to the film Batman Returns, its marketing, or its soundtrack, and no infringement is intended. The track, Birth of a Penguin Part 2, is performed by Danny Elfman.